Good morning. I'm John Munson, and you're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, sitting in for Joy Cardine this week. This hour, we're going to take a look at inspecting bridges. After the collapse of the 35W bridge in Minneapolis, this became a hot topic. And immediately, I'm sure that this happened all around the United States, but we're in Wisconsin, and so we're going to be dealing with that issue from our perspective. Federal records show that more than 2,000 bridges in Wisconsin are structurally deficient or functionally obsolete. But take heart, to the state's credit, that's the fourth lowest rate of problem bridges in the nation. By the way, Minnesota was ranked third. Here's a question for you. Would you be willing to pay higher taxes on gasoline for bridge maintenance? Wisconsin has 16 bridges of the type that the deck truss bridges that collapsed in Minneapolis. And as I was researching for this morning's program, I noted that most of them were built before 1940. Well, before 1950. The newest ones were built in 1957. So that suggests that we've got some old bridges out there. However, they are being inspected. There is a federal mandate to inspect bridges every 2 years. Well, this hour we're going to talk with a representative from the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, Bruce Caro, who is Chief Bridge Maintenance Engineer for the DOT. And later, after 6:30 this morning, we're going to talk with Rob Coles, Republican State Senator from Green Bay, who sits on the Joint Audit Committee, and he has called for an audit of the bridge inspection program. What questions do you have? Well, do you think the Department of Transportation should do more to help address the safety of bridges? Do you wonder how it works? How can you help? What do you think our lawmakers can or should do? Let me give you the toll-free numbers. 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. In Madison, call us on our local number, 263-1890, 263-1890. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org. That's talk@wpr.org. Let me welcome Bruce Caro to the program this morning. He's Chief Bridge Maintenance Engineer for the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Morning, Joe.
The bridge program, bridge inspection program in Wisconsin, what's the status?
It's a good program. We are in the process of inspecting those 16 bridges. We've gotten some of them done Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. We've got one up in Brown County scheduled for today, and we'll get the rest of them next week.
Now, my understanding is that a lot of these bridges are really old. I mean, the newest one on the list is built in 1957. Does that make any difference?
It doesn't really make any difference. You know, we try to take care of them all, and the amount of traffic that they've seen over the years and the degree that they've been taken care of over the years has more to do with it than just age.
What are some of the things that go into affecting a bridge in terms of how long it will last or what kind of shape it's in?
The amount of traffic, of course, that goes over it, the amount of truck traffic has an effect on it. How much salt, for example, we use on it in the wintertime to get the snow and ice off of it, you know, and to keep it open in the wintertime. The quality of the materials that may go into it, you know, might have an effect. How often we paint it, you know, if it's a steel bridge.
What about, the weather in Wisconsin? We have a lot of changes in temperature. It can be 40 below in the wintertime and 100 above in the summertime. What impact does that have on concrete and steel?
Like anything else, the concrete and steel will expand when it gets hotter, and it'll contract when it gets colder. But the bridges have what we call expansion joints in them, and underneath they have movable bearings that will account for this expansion and contraction. So it doesn't have as much of an effect as, you might think it would.
We're at weather time, and so let's take a break, and we'll check the weather around the state of Wisconsin and find out what's going on in your neck of the woods. And when we come back, maybe some people will want to join us and ask some questions of our guest about the status of bridges in Wisconsin. 800-642-1234 is the toll-free number to call. You can use that from anywhere you can hear this broadcast. 800-642-1234. In Madison, we'd appreciate it if you'd use our local number, which is 263-1890, 263-1890. You can also send us an email. The address is talk@wpr.org. I'm John Munson, sitting in for Joy Cardine, and you're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 17 and a half minutes past the hour of 6 o'clock. Coming up later today on the Ideas Network, after 10, Jim Packard is in for Kathleen Dunn. Likes, dislikes, secrets, jokes, the things friends and family often share. Researchers now say weight should be added to the list. After 10, Jim Packard and his guests discuss the theory that having overweight friends and family can make you fat. This hour, we're talking about the status of bridges and how well Wisconsin is doing at its inspecting its bridges. That's the topic this hour, and here are the numbers you can call to join us. 800-642-1234. That's a toll-free number, 800-642-1234. In Madison, use our local number, 263-1890, 263-1890. You can also send us an email. Here's the address, talk@wpr.org. My guest in this segment of the program is Bruce Caro, Chief Bridge Maintenance Engineer for the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. One of the news stories, Mr. Caro, that came out is that there will be monitors, automated monitors placed on the 16 bridges in Wisconsin that have the same type of construction as the one that collapsed in Minnesota. Could you explain what these monitors are and how they work, please?
They use them a lot in higher seismic areas where there's earthquakes. But basically, they will monitor movement, and we'll be able to have access to their data 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and any unusual movement to those bridges, and we'll be aware of it immediately, and we'll be able to go out and check those bridges and see why that movement occurred.
Until, of course, we find out exactly what caused the bridge collapse in Minneapolis, it's kind of hard to even know what to look for, isn't it?
Yes, it is. There's a number of things that could have caused the collapse, but I'm not going to speculate on that. We've got some highly qualified people looking into that. Other than that, we are doing the inspections this week and next week on similar bridges, and we're looking for any changes in condition from the last inspection that we did.
According to a report that came out in the news this week, federal records show that more than 2,000 bridges in Wisconsin are structurally deficient or functionally obsolete. What does that mean?
That means that they're not in the condition they would be if they were built new today. Functionally obsolete has to do with the deck geometrics. The bridge might be too narrow. It might be right at the end of a sharp curve in the roadway. Something like this is something that we would not build today. Structurally deficient is kind of scary when you hear the term, but it means that one part of the bridge is possibly not in as good a condition as we would like it. For example, the deck or the superstructure or the substructure might be in fair or poor condition. And then that's something that we'd want to go out and do some maintenance on or repair.
Well, let's take a phone call. Brad in Green Bay would like to ask a question. Brad, good morning.
Good morning. It's a question for Bruce. The Minnesota bridge failure, it appeared from the footage that I saw, it was a sudden failure, which surprised me. We had the Hone Bridge issue a couple years ago in Wisconsin. That wasn't a sudden failure. There was some pretty dramatic evidence that the bridge was in rough shape before we had something catastrophic like that. I was wondering if you could comment on the bridge design. We have some bridges of similar design in Wisconsin, whether you think they are susceptible to sudden failure, and if there's other bridge designs in Wisconsin that may be similarly susceptible to a sudden failure like that.
The bridge that failed was what we call a fracture critical bridge, and it's basically a two-girder system rather than most of our bridges have three, four, five girders underneath them. If a one girder and a two girder system fails, the bridge is more susceptible to turning over or completely failing, like the one in Minnesota did. We try to look at all our bridges on a two-year cycle and look for the small details or the small abnormalities that might lead to that failure.
I should mention to our listeners that we're having a few technical difficulties this morning with our connection, and that's making something sound a little odd, and we're working on that, and we hope to have it repaired shortly. Brad, thanks for the call. I guess the question is, with all of the bridges in Wisconsin that need to be inspected every 2 years, there are a lot of bridges out there. Is there enough funding to make sure that all of these bridges are inspected when they're supposed to be?
Yes, there are. There's enough funding. We have enough equipment, and we have enough people to do the job. Last count, there's 13,654 bridges in Wisconsin. And we have about 61 people available with the state to inspect the state-owned bridges, and the counties have qualified people to inspect the local bridges, and there are also many engineering consultants out there in Wisconsin that can also inspect bridges.
So it sounds like we have this problem in hand. It's obviously a tragedy like this can cause an awful lot of attention be paid to something and questions to be asked. From what you're telling me, it sounds like we've been working on inspecting bridges all along.
Yes, we've been very diligent in inspecting our bridges. In fact, Wisconsin had a bridge inspection program long before it was mandated by the federal government.
800-642-1234 is the number to call if you'd like to join our discussion. 800-642-1234 in Madison. Call our local number 263-1890, 263-1890. You can also send an email and reach us that way. The address is talk@wpr.org. This hour, we're talking about the bridge inspection program in Wisconsin, and our guest is Bruce Caro, Chief Bridge Maintenance Engineer for the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. Of course, the reason for the discussion is the fact that there was a bridge collapse in Minneapolis last week. Most of us saw it on television. And where I live up in the Twin Ports area up in northern Wisconsin, and our television comes from Duluth, it was pretty much continuous coverage. It was a tragic occurrence, and all of a sudden bridge safety is front page news, and we're talking about it. You can join us as well. Let's take another phone call. We'll talk to Dave in Madison. Dave, good morning. Thanks
good
for
morning.
Calling.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I had a question relating to the term structurally deficient, which the gentleman said, to me, it seems like it's somewhat a useless term if all it means is that the bridge is not new. But then the term fair or poor condition was also discussed. And I'm wondering, in your estimation, how many bridges in Wisconsin are fair or poor condition? Or do you feel really actually need replacement? And do we have the budget to do those replacements that that are required?
About 16% of the bridges in Wisconsin are either structurally deficient or functionally obsolete. Not all of them, of course, need replacement. Most of them just need some repair to bring them up to a better condition. And yes, we have the budget to do the needed repairs and replacement. Sometimes they might not get done as soon as we like, but we look at all the bridges and we prioritize our repairs and replacements, and we go on from there. I noticed some of these 16 bridges.
Well, it sounds like it's a pretty big job. And
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. It's just that this is such a big job. You must have to have quite a bit of manpower to stay on top of it.
We do. We've got crews in each of our 8 regional offices that do the inspections and prioritize the repairs and replacements, and they get in the budget, and they're weighed against roadway repairs and, you know, other things that we have to do with the highway.
And how many do require replacement?
We're just about at news time, and I just want to thank Bruce Carroll for coming in this morning and being our guest on the phone and talking to us about such an important topic. You know, we drive over these bridges every day, and it's nice to know that somebody is paying attention. So thanks a lot, Bruce, for speaking with our listeners this morning.
The opportunity.
In the next half hour, we'll invite Rob Coles, Republican State Senator from Green Bay, on the Joint Audit Committee to talk to us and to you. I'm John Munson. It's 6:35. Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Munson, sitting in for Joy Cardine. And we are talking about bridge safety and bridge inspections in the wake of the bridge collapse on I-35W in downtown Minneapolis, a bridge that I've gone over many times. Everybody is more aware of bridge safety and how old our bridges are and how much it takes to keep them up. And in the last half hour, we heard Bruce Carroll, who's chief bridge maintenance engineer for the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, talk about the inspection program in Wisconsin and what is being done to make sure that the bridges that we all drive over every day are safe and that we can trust them. In this half hour, we will welcome in a guest state legislator, Rob Coles, who is on the Legislative Audit Committee and who has called for an audit of the bridge inspection program. Good morning, Senator Coles.
Good morning, John. How are you today?
Well, pretty good now.
Are those technical problems worked out?
We got them taken care of. We have a crack engineering team at Wisconsin Public Radio.
Absolutely.
And even early in the morning, they jump to it and take us out of a jam.
Right.
Obviously, the attention that we're paying now to bridges is at least in part related to the collapse of the bridge in Minneapolis, and that kind of disaster always focuses us a little bit more.
Well, absolutely.
Your call for an audit of the bridge inspection program is a result of that.
Well, absolutely. When you have something as catastrophic as this in our neighboring state, policymakers like myself start thinking, well, we want to make sure this doesn't happen here. And this is certainly no criticism of Mr. Carroll, who I'm sure is working his tail off to inspect bridges. And I applaud Mr. Carroll and the governor for focusing on the 15. I think one has been dismantled, but 15 bridges have a similar architecture. And they, in fact, one in my Senate district in the De Pere area is being looked at today. So there's a focus on those. So I'm involved in this, one, because of the Minneapolis disaster, and two, right after that disaster, I looked at the audit that was done after the Hone Bridge collapse. And that little audit pointed out that there were problems in the audit. Now, I want to work with I want to work with the Department of Transportation, and I think that An independent analysis would say that I'm probably the most outspoken person against diversions of monies out of various funds, and our highway fund has suffered a pretty significant diversion that could have an effect on the maintenance of all types, not just bridges. In the last budget, for example, $330 million was extracted from the highway fund. Now, the audit that occurred back in 2001, right after the Hone Bridge collapse, it pointed out that approximately 15% of the bridges were not being analyzed on a timely basis. That is, they were not being looked at within the two-year time frame. And there was two-thirds of the bridges had outdated traffic counts. Now, the traffic count, as Mr. Carroll mentioned a little earlier, and the weight plays a role in the gradual erosion of that bridge and the need for repair or replacement ultimately. So when I read that audit and not knowing whether these things had been fixed since that audit, I thought it was time to do some due diligence and ask for an audit. Now, this is not a confrontational thing with DOT. This is a collaborative thing. The Audit Bureau is this wonderful independent entity, along with our Fiscal Bureau, Legislative Reference Bureau, and our Legislative Council. Wisconsin is a leader in having these independent agencies. They provide the legislature with this dispassionate analysis that's above reproach, and that's what we need here. I mean, if we hadn't had the disaster, you know, it probably wouldn't be an issue. But now we've had a disaster, and it's time to look deeper. And the question I have is, what's wrong with looking deeper? I'm sure that the DOT people are working very hard, but our audit bureau can possibly help them, maybe come up with some ideas that have been explored in other states to do things more efficiently, maybe come up with some technologies. Who knows? But it's a minimal thing, I think. I don't see this as a major thing to have an audit. We have the Audit Bureau at our resources, and we have a mini crisis here, and people need to be satisfied that we're doing everything we can. Now, the governor's done some great things in recent days, and I've applauded him in my various interviews. I'm glad he's focusing on putting sensors on those 15 bridges, and I'm glad he's asking for an examination of the whole program. But with the problem that was pointed out from the audit from 2001, I think it's prudent as a policymaker to ask for more and have the accountability and redundancy that an audit from our Legislative Audit Bureau would give.
You mentioned a diversion of funds from the Transportation mm-hmm. Fund. I think it would be a good idea for people who maybe aren't up on how all this stuff works. How mm-hmm. is transportation infrastructure funded in Wisconsin?
Two ways primarily. Our gasoline tax, which is about 30 cents a gallon, and our vehicle registration fee. Now, in recent budgets, big chunks of that have been diverted into the general fund and away from the highway fund. And you can't make a case at the moment that it's affected bridges or anything else from a safety point of view yet. But obviously, going forward, when you've got 2,000 bridges that are structurally deficient or functionally obsolete, we're going to need a lot of money to fix those bridges. And I'd point out that the Audit Bureau, working with the DOT, can help us, I think, refine that number and focus on the bridges that are really the most needy. And it's possible that, you know, I mean, it's very likely that there's always going to be risk. I mean, all this is trying to minimize risk. Well, we're never going to get all the risk out of the system. But my argument is working with our renowned Audit Bureau, people with incredible integrity and competence, working with the DOT experts, I think we can make the situation better than it is today.
The up until, what was it, last year or was it 2 years ago when the state legislature voted to end the indexing of the gas tax, the gasoline tax went up automatically, and so there was always a steady increase in funding mm-hmm. available for transportation. Right. How likely do you think it is that the legislature is going to act to reindex that tax or find some other way to put more money in the budget?
Well, that's hard to predict. I mean, I was among those that voted to repeal indexing because I thought it was ridiculous to index it and generate about $35 to $40 million a year and then divert it into the general fund. You know, I think these funds should have barriers between them, and they shouldn't be mixing them up. It's possible that something could happen in the future, but I think you've got to stop the raids on the funds and, you know, make a clear argument. And it's possible this bridge issue could be one of those arguments. You know, if we find out that a significant number of those 2,000 bridges mentioned by Bruce earlier, you know, need to be moved up on the reconstruction timeline, it's possible we need more money. And then you get back to the diversion issue and how much money that's been lost already. And by the way, in the budget that's in front of us right now, there's additional diversions planned. And it's going to be quite difficult to stop it. Now, I'm not saying that these diversions have caused a problem yet, but it's possible that, I mean, if you did have all that money back, you could argue that all the different appropriation lines, maintenance, town road aids, village aids, county road aids, et cetera, major roads, all the different budget lines of the highway budget, you could have sprinkled more dollars into those things and done more. So certainly we shouldn't, the legislature should not be raiding these funds, and I'm vehemently against it. But in the meantime, I think it's prudent to zero in on the specifics, help us prioritize the dollars, find ways that we can do this more efficiently, find ways we can do it better. And that's why I'm asking for this audit.
Well, we're at weather time, and we'll see when we come back if we have callers who want to join in on our discussion this morning about the safety of the bridges in the state of Wisconsin. We have a couple of callers waiting to get on the air, and we'll get to them right after the weather. And there's still room for you at 800-642-1234 or 263-1890. If you are shy of being on the air but want to contribute anyway, you can send us an email. The address is talk@WPR.org. I'm John Munson. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 6:47. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Munson, sitting in for Joy Cardine this week. Paper or plastic? That's the question. After five, Ben Marins and his guest explore the history and life cycles of packaging materials and look at the many ways packaged goods shape our culture. Ben's guest after five will be Dan Imhoff, author of the book Paper or Plastic, Searching for Solutions to an Overpackaged World. That's after 5 o'clock today here on the Ideas Network. We still have some open phone lines. If you'd like to join our discussion, 800-642-1234 or 263-1890. We're talking about the inspection of Wisconsin's bridges. And our guest this hour is State Senator Robert Coles of Green Bay, who is calling for an audit by the nonpartisan Legislative Audit Bureau of the state's bridge inspection program. And Senator Coles joins us by phone, and you can too. And let's go to the phones and take a call from Ray in Milwaukee. Good morning, Ray. Thanks for calling.
Good morning. I want to bring up the obvious, which nobody has mentioned yet, which is the American population's love affair with large vehicles. I ride a bicycle. I sold my car 5 years ago. I haven't missed it for a second. When you look on the highways today, anybody in the state, how many cars have one person in them, and how many cars are like 30 times the weight they need to be? An American person might weigh 180 pounds. Why do our vehicles need to weigh 4, 5, and 6,000 pounds? And what is with us that we don't understand? We're like lemmings going over the precipice here. If we would double up in vehicles and use smaller vehicles, there would be less wear and tear on these highways and bridges. And the Republican from Green Bay could stop whining that he needs more money for more highways and bridges. That really, it's like a suicidal death trip. We should be using less vehicles, trying to have less impact on the infrastructure, by insisting that you cannot get on a highway unless you have more than one person in your vehicle, and also by making sure that people don't get tax breaks for buying Hummers and large vehicles that we don't need.
Okay, Ray, thanks for the call.
Well,
John,
that's the whole topic of a whole nother discussion. It relates to this. The weight of bridges, I touched on traffic count and the weight. That's one of the reasons why I've asked for this audit, because we have there's an uncertainty whether we're keeping up with that traffic count based on the previous audit in 2000. So, you know, I applaud this gentleman for his energy efficiency, and I'm one of the biggest advocates of energy efficiency. In fact, I drive a hybrid car. But I don't think we're ready as a society to start telling people what weight of car that they have, or, you know, how many people are going to be in their car. Unfortunately, I'm not ready to address it, but I certainly do applaud his interest in energy efficiency. It's absolutely a critical issue. Off the topic a little bit of this program.
I wish I weighed 180 pounds.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
And I'm not whining. I think I'm working in a very constructive way. And I want to see the dollars used efficiently and not wasted. And I have, just for the record, I've been critical of DOT when they had the bidding issues several years ago. And several of us on the audit committee had a pretty big audit of various aspects of DOT spending. So with that, I think I've touched on all the different issues.
Sure. Well, I mean, there has been a significant change in terms of the type of the amount and type of traffic on the the nation's highways and our state. I mean, we're certainly seeing a lot more transportation of goods by truck than there was, say, 50 years ago. There are certainly more cars on the road than there were before. So it stands to reason that there'd be a little more wear and tear on highways and bridges on all the infrastructure.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, I think back when I was in my late teens and 20s, and I can remember going with my buddies and driving into the southern part of the country, and there's no doubt that the traffic has increased dramatically in the 30-some years. And there's more trucks. There's just more commerce. We've got more people, and we have more economic activity, and we need to address that in various policy ways through maintenance. And Ray from Milwaukee mentioned, you know, the energy efficiency issue is definitely going to interact with our transportation policies. And I think go ahead.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Yeah. Let's take another call. I want to get to some of these people who are waiting. Rob in McNaughton, you're up next. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, Governor Doyle had proposed taxing your oil companies on all these outrageous profits they're making and bringing in more money to Wisconsin for our transportation system. I was wondering how the legislature felt about that proposal.
Well, the legislature, the assembly has taken it out of their budget, and I applaud them for that, and the Senate has left it in. That would raise, if you could pass it through, and we don't believe it, it would be passed through to those of us that are, you know, drivers. It would not be able to just be embedded into the corporate profits, and we have memos that show that. I think we'd all love to stick it to the oil companies in various ways. We just don't think that those of us that disagree with the governor's proposal just don't think that this is the way to do it.
800-642-1234 is the toll-free number to call to join our discussion. 263-1890. Please use that number if you're calling us from Madison. We have about 6 minutes left in the program, so a chance to take a couple more callers if people want to get in on this. You're calling for the Legislative Audit Bureau to take a look at the bridge inspection program. Exactly how would that work?
Well, they would go through, you know, how the resources are being spent now. And they would look at traffic counts. They would look at all the things that they looked at 7 or 8 years ago. Are they getting them done in a timely way? Exactly what kind of activity is occurring on the bridge? They would look at other states that are doing it. They would probably talk to some independent nonprofit entities that specialize in bridge services. They would scan the horizon, you might say, and look at all the different entities that are involved in bridge safety and make an attempt to give policy recommendations to the legislature and to the DOT so this whole situation could be marginally better.
Let's take a call from Rick in East Troy. Rick, good morning.
Good morning. I called last week on this topic, and I want to reiterate that a lot of politicians tend to run on cutting taxes, and even though we're talking about raiding one fund for the other one, the reason you'd have to raid one fund to get to the other one is because there's not enough money to do all the things that need to be done. And in typical fashion, we are now reacting instead of being proactive. When people come to the legislature about needing taxes for programs that are proactive, they generally get shut out, and politicians then go on the campaign trail and say they're cutting taxes until something like this happens, and then they want to spend more money, to make it look like they're doing something about it when that money should have been there in the first place. Yes, the fund was raided, but the reason it was raided was because the money that was supposed to be used for other things was cut.
Let's give Senator Coles a chance to respond to that, because we're almost out of time.
Well, I think Rick has an excellent point. I wouldn't totally agree with it. You could also argue that the reason the money wasn't there was because of bad budgeting and overspending. I mean, it's a very massive budget, and when you create this diversion between spending, appropriations, and revenues, you're definitely going to have a problem moving forward. And that's why the highway dollars were raided and energy conservation dollars and a number of other funds were raided. But I guess I disagree with him in part on how we got to that point. But he's definitely making a good point that,
Yeah, it's always, it comes down to money, doesn't it? What happens if the audit comes back and says we need millions more dollars to solve this problem?
Well, I would say, John, and that's an important thing for us to know. Then we've got we can reallocate within the budget, or we could add a couple pennies to the gasoline tax or the registration fee. But I think that it's important for us to zero in on those. I know all 2,000 of those bridges that were mentioned by Mr. Carroll are not, in serious shape, but it's possible that a number of them are in serious shape. So we're not just dealing with the 15 bridges that have the same architecture as the one that fell down in Minneapolis. There's a number of others around the state, and we need to refine the information to give people, some reasonable expectation that things are going real well here. And that's the only reason that I'm asking for this. I mean, the legislature needs independent analysis, and I know agencies many times are reluctant to have the audit bureau look at things because they find problems and there's some embarrassment. But in a case of like this, where there could be life or death at stake, I mean, you've just got to suck it up and expect a little criticism. And with the audit that came out 7 or 8 years ago, there were problems. So at this point, I don't know if those problems were resolved. And we've got the Minneapolis situation, so it's just prudent to go through this again and try to narrow the amount of risk that we have here.
Senator Coles, thank you for joining us at this
early
hour this morning.
Have a great day.
You too. Senator Rob Coles, Republican State Senator from Green Bay, who sits on the Joint Audit Committee. This program was produced by Leo Duran, with on-air production by Karen Prager and Cheryl Gasser. If you'd like a copy, call the radio store at 800-747-7444 and ask for program 89A, as in Apple. I'm John Munson, sitting in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.